Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you for being here this evening, and thank Roy Hathcock for his leadership this year, and Ray and Michael and all those, Jerry Vaughn, everybody that participated in our business meeting, leading our church. By the way, the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma meeting that we're hosting was mentioned, and that is 2 weeks from tomorrow. And even if you're not one of those people that was elected to be a messenger to go and vote when things are voted on, you're welcome to come. Everybody's welcome to come and participate. In fact, 2 weeks from tonight, one of our church planters from Calgary is going to preach for us in his Sunday evening service. He'll be here because of the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, but he's going to preach for us on that Sunday evening service. I'm saying that right, aren't I, Brother Ray? And you'll enjoy hearing from him, a Canadian who was saved through the ministry of one of our little church starts up there, and is called to preach, and went to the Canadian seminary, is finishing his PhD from Southern Seminary right now, traveling back and forth. In fact, you're helping him with some of the expense of that, and it's going to make a real difference, is already, and will continue to make a real difference in Canada. So you'll hear from him. And you can go to all the convention you want to go to. And then keep in mind that on the Tuesday afternoon of the convention, I think that would be November 14th, the president of the International Mission Board, David Platt, will be here preaching. He's a great preacher, and you want to hear from the International Mission Board. I think that'll be about 3 o'clock on that Tuesday afternoon. So you might mark that November 14th. And take a break if you can from work or from your day, and come and participate in that part and hear him. Well, this morning, I closed the Daniel 10 text by reading part of Ephesians chapter 6. And one of the things we observed in Daniel 10 is that prayer is more important than we suppose. We see in Daniel 10 that call to be prayer warriors. In fact, it's interesting to me as I studied Daniel 10 that there are two statements that seem to contradict in the minds of some people. It's hard for us to know how they fit together. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, the angel speaks about the future as what is already written down in the book of truth. A strong statement about the sovereignty of God, about how he determines the past and the present and the future. But in that very same chapter, in that very same encounter, that very same angel says to Daniel, "From the first day you started praying, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." And so this is a mystery to us, but we accept it because it's the teaching of Scripture that God rules and prayer is powerful. We pray because we're commanded to pray, and we pray because we believe that prayer moves heaven and earth. Daniel prayed, and angels went to war. So I want to follow up a little bit on this call to prayer, this truth that prayer is so much more important than we oftentimes suppose. And what I'd like to do is press in tonight to the Ephesians 6 text that I read this morning. Help us understand better what it means to be a prayer warrior. When the Apostle Paul calls us to the spiritual battle, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, he calls us primarily to prayer. And so you follow along here. I want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, and then focus on verse 18 through 22. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the princes, the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." And you're familiar with that text, how Paul goes through the full armor of God. But he saves prayer for last. And he spends most of his time talking about prayer as spiritual warfare. And it begins in verse 18. Look at 18 through 22. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times, in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition, for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming the gospel I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know about my circumstances, how and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. I want you to notice four things about being a prayer warrior. First is this: prayer warriors pray with personal interest and insight. The church at Ephesus knew Paul personally. He had spent time with them. And they knew about his circumstances. And verse 21 and 22 tell us that he sent them information about his circumstances and his needs. In fact, it's interesting that we learn in verse 21 and 22 that Paul wanted them to know more than he could write. He wanted them to know more detail than he was willing to give in the letter. And so he informed Tychicus, who carried the letter, of all the details of his life. In fact, Tychicus likely already knew. And he said, tell them in detail what I am doing and how I am doing. That's interesting, isn't it? Detailed information about the what and the how. And I think one of the things we're learning here from the Apostle Paul is that intercessory prayer is most effective when we have personal insight, understanding. We know something of the how people are doing and what they are doing. I mean, there's a time and a place for what we describe as kind of a shotgun prayer. Sometimes we pray for people or circumstances and we don't know much at all about what's going on, and we just have to pray, Lord, help them, Lord, bless them. But prayer warriors are at their best when they can pray more like a rifle than a shotgun, when they know some details and can pray with specific personal insight and interest. Our prayer ministry team has put together teams to support each one of the ministers in prayer. And I so appreciate that. And Brent Salgett leads the team that prays for me. And two or three times a year, he'll be on my schedule. And he'll come in and spend about 20 minutes. He'll just kind of interview me, ask me what's going on with my life, with my family's life, what my needs are, how they need to be praying for me. Because Brent understands that the more specific they can be in intercession, the more effective they'll be. And we see this at work in verse 21 and 22. So, prayer warriors get details. We need to be giving and getting details. Honestly, most of you, many of you are probably like me. Sometimes we're kind of private. We don't want to tell people. We feel like we're being selfish, or who's interested in the details of my life. But Paul was given the details of his life. And so when we want people to pray for us, we need to give them details. And we want to pray for people, we want to get the details. Like we see coming into practice here in verse 21 and 22. Prayer warriors pray with personal interest and insight. The second thing I want to see in this text is that prayer warriors pray with persistence. Verse 18, all prayer, all times, all perseverance for all the saints. We keep on praying. It's like Paul is echoing the teaching of Jesus, who says that we ought to always pray and never lose heart. There's an emphasis on the persistence of prayer, that we keep on praying with perseverance. In fact, when verse 18 says that that prayer warriors are on the alert, being on the alert with all perseverance, I think it's a hint it brings two things to mind, being on the alert with all perseverance. One is, it is a hint of this aspect of intercessory prayer as spiritual warfare. Just like a soldier is on the alert, just like the night watchman is on the alert, be on the alert with all perseverance. And I think also, when be on the alert is connected with prayer, our minds run to one of the most important scenes of prayer in the Gospels, where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he calls the three to pull aside with him, and he says to them, watch and pray. Help me. Watch and pray. And he goes to pray, sweating drops of blood. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And when he returns, what does he find? Yeah. Three deacons. That was just a joke. We've got great deacons. I just like to give them a hard time. They're sleeping, which I think was literally true, but it's also kind of a metaphor, isn't it? To be asleep is the opposite of being on the alert, of watching and praying. And so Paul is reminding us that intercessory prayer, spiritual warfare, intercessory prayer, the role of the prayer warrior is like the watchman's work. And to fail to pray is like the watchman falling asleep. Now, if we were at risk, and I ask you to stand at the door and keep watch, you wouldn't fall asleep. You'd do everything you could to be on the alert. But Paul is saying, brothers and sisters, praying for me is just that important. Prayer warriors pray with persistence and faithfulness. In other words, we pray like prayer matters. Like it really does make a difference. Daniel prayed and angels went to war. The third thing I want you to see in this text as we think about prayer warriors. Prayer warriors pray in the Spirit. Did you notice that in verse 18? With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, Paul says. And here Paul is reminding them of something that I'm sure he had taught them in more detail, something that we hear Paul teach us in more detail in places like the book of Romans. This truth that the Holy Spirit guides us in prayer. This is an awesome reality to consider. That as children of God, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're born again by His Spirit. And His Spirit lives and dwells within us, works within us. And as we pray, the Holy Spirit of God guides us in prayer. We can pray in the Spirit. Sometimes we don't know what people need, but the Holy Spirit knows, doesn't He? Sometimes we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit of God helps us recall the promises of God so that we can pray for the people of God. He takes over. The Scriptures clearly teach us that He takes over when we don't have the words. He is our heavenly prayer partner. Prayer warriors pray in the Spirit. And if you've ever gotten serious about interceding for somebody, for other people, you realize that oftentimes you don't know how to pray in a difficult situation. But He does. We need to learn to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in prayer, to be still in His presence, and to learn to pray in the Spirit. So, prayer warriors pray with personal interest and insight. Prayer warriors pray with persistence, and prayer warriors pray in the Spirit. And most important of all, I want you to see in this text that prayer warriors focus on advancing the gospel and glorifying the name of Jesus. Paul is in prison when he writes to the church at Ephesus. He's waiting, he's expecting to stand trial. And do you notice what he asks for in terms of prayer in verse 19 and 20? He doesn't say, pray for me that I get 3 good meals a day. He doesn't say, pray for me that I get justice. It doesn't say, pray for me that they'd set me free or that I'd be healthy or I'd be comfortable. There's nothing wrong with praying those things, but that's not Paul's focus. Look at Paul's focus in verse 19 and 20. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and that in proclaiming the gospel, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul says, when you pray for me, pray for 2 things, that I would represent Christ well, and that I would be bold to speak the good news of Jesus Christ every opportunity that I have. That's his focus, and it should be ours. I'm an ambassador in chains. I'm here to represent Christ. And so as we pray for others, ministers and missionaries and family members and friends and neighbors, one of the things we're always praying is, oh God, in whatever circumstance they're in, give them grace to represent Christ well. And boldness to speak the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you see the repetition of the word bold? In verse 19 and 20. Bold, that I would be bold. That word, that's an important New Testament word. It means freedom of speech. That I would be outspoken, that I would be courageous, that I'd be bold. Paul, I was watching a little football this weekend. And, you know, there's so much on, I can't even remember what I was watching. I watch it all and I watch none of it. And this guy had the ball, and he broke a few tackles. He made a long run. It was spectacular. And then right before he got across the goal line, he fumbled the ball. And that's really Paul's concern. Paul's saying, I've suffered. I'm imprisoned. I've followed Christ this whole way. I'm about to stand trial. And here, as I stand trial, I don't want to fumble the ball. I don't want it all to be wasted. I want to represent Christ well, and I want to be bold to speak the gospel. Now listen, you might be praying for somebody that has a health problem. But even as you're praying for that health problem, you're asking God to give them grace to represent Christ well, to have a boldness to proclaim the gospel. You might be praying for someone with some other need or issue in their life. But remember, ultimately it's about the name of Christ. It's about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is Paul's concern. In fact, there's an interesting text in the last thing Paul wrote. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is back in prison. This is the second time. And I'm sure he's asking people to pray for him in just the same way. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Sounds like Daniel, doesn't it? But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. But why is it, how is it that the Apostle Paul, in prison, standing trial, used even the trial as the opportunity to advance the gospel, to proclaim the gospel? How could Paul be so bold? And that was his way, remember? In the book of Acts, we read that great story of Paul finally getting his trial in front of Agrippa. And Agrippa comes into the courtroom with great pomp and circumstance designed to intimidate Paul. Paul's not intimidated. He stands up and shares his testimony about how Jesus has changed his life. Jesus was his Lord. He talked about the death and resurrection of Christ and his reign. And then he said, Agrippa, don't you believe the prophets? You remember that? He started pressing the claims of Christ on his judge. How is Paul so bold? We tend to think, well, it just came natural to Paul. It's his nature. He was a bold person. Yet, the fact that he's always asking, pray for me that when the time comes, I will be bold and speak freely, makes me to tend to think maybe it wasn't his nature. Maybe the reason Paul is so bold is because he had a lot of people praying for him. Imagine that you're walking the streets of heaven, maybe celebrating your 10,000th year, and you see a big golden sculpture catches your eye, and you walk over to the sculpture and you see that the inscription says, a monument to the boldness of Paul. And you look up at the statue, and it's a statue of three ladies from Ephesus kneeling in prayer. Prayer is more important than we suppose. Bow your heads with me for prayer. Father, I pray that you would raise up men and women, old and young, to stand in the gap through intercessory prayer, to be prayer warriors like Daniel. We know that you hear us when we pray, and that somehow our prayer moves you. Forgive us of our prayerlessness, prompted by pride and disbelief. Help us to be men and women of prayer. Lord, raise us up as men and women of prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have an invitation this evening. Some of you may want to commit tonight to serve in the prayer room. Just come and kneel here and alone or with your spouse. Say, Lord, teach us to pray. Some may need to come and join our church tonight. We're happy to help you with that. And if you've never received Christ as Savior, we can help you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved this evening. If you need to make a public response, we want to give you opportunity to do that this evening. Let's stand together and sing. And as we sing, you come.